CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threat of Exchange with Thea Bailey. Live on Cliff Central.
Good morning. It's 11 a.m. on a Monday, and as you know, it's the Threaded Exchange. We're back for our second episode. Thank you so much to everyone that loved what we did last week with Asanda. Yeah. I think it was a great show, Lisa.
Good morning, everybody, and we are definitely back. It's Monday morning, nice and early. Last week with Asanda was pretty nice.
Yeah, it was great. I love the fact that she drove the interview. It felt natural, and I love everyone. Thank you to everyone that actually reached out to us on social media, who loved the content, who loved the podcast, who loved the video.
The video.
Yeah, and what we're going to do now is that every single video that we shoot for each podcast is going to be embedded on cliffcentral.com. So make sure you watch out for that later today.
Get the visuals to the audio.
Yeah. Yeah. But as what I like about the show, the Threat Exchange, cultured, progressive, and brave, is that every week we're going to do a switch up. You know, last week it did very fashion orientated, but today we are talking the club scene.
You're taking it to the boom.
Yeah. So we're talking about the club scene today. We're talking to Jabu Mzimela as well as Solly. If Solly decides to show up, because apparently he decided to get sick.
Was the club open yesterday?
So we're going to be talking to these two gentlemen who play a very important role in the entertainment industry. They're very consistent in what they do, and people never really pay attention to. They're so consistent that I feel they're underappreciated. They're not appreciated for what they do.
People don't understand the drive of entertainment. It's a big industry.
Yeah, and the club in Johannesburg, or the club scene in South Africa, has played a big role in artists launching their careers, coming back, making a comeback. Mm. I mean, you know, when you do an event at a club such as Taboo, people recognize you, and it's good PR for your brand. So we're going to be talking about the club scene. And today, as we were debating with Lisa yesterday, we're not gonna be talking about the usual boring stuff about the club scene. We're really gonna just dig a bit deeper, but keep it fun and a bit lit and a bit controversial.
A bit lit.
And Jabu is not gonna hold anything back. Hopefully.
Are you getting scared, Jabu?
No. I'm here.
Just a disclaimer that now that you're here, I'm set for the boo, right? So I can come anytime with my friends.
Whatever you want.
Okay. I think that's why we brought Jabu here. We brought you here because we're like, hey, we need to be sorted to go out every single weekend for the
lines?
Next year.
It gets serious there, and those bounces are big. I'm like, I want to get there and feel like, yo, I've arrived.
Yeah.
No, we got you.
But definitely, Jabu, we're going to be speaking to you right about now. Lisa.
Yes.
How was your week last week? Let's catch up.
My week last week, you know that the Threaded Man launched Major Leagues. We did a big shoot on that.
Yeah.
That was my highlight of my week. Like, they looked like rock stars.
Yeah, I saw it was on V Entertainment as well, which was pretty cool. Yeah, but I also I feel like, you know, with the story that we did with Major League, it's really a time for them to just relaunch their brand and take it to another upper level.
But my thing is, how more upper? These boys are like, did you see the wardrobe?
I did. They brought like Gucci. They brought everything out. Like, it was quite insane.
And there's two of them. That's quite cool. How was your week? I had a cool week.
My week was really good. I'm excited to see who's going to try to buy a cover from The Threaded Man.
Spicy.
My calls and emails are ringing. People are starting to tell me what they're up to because they want to be put on. So that was the highlight of my week. But also genuinely, I'm excited. Also this week, Anati's shooting down in Cape Town with AKA for 10 Fingers. Was brainstorming with him yesterday about the creative direction for his video. So I'm really excited to see what's going to come out of that. So yeah, but I'm looking forward to this week and killing it.
Yes, we are definitely killing it. I'm excited. I mean, the week has started. We start off nice and early on Monday, and we kickstart to a good week. I mean, it's a lot of hard work on my side, but...
Yeah. But let's jump right into it. We're here with Jabu. Jabu's here, and we're going to find out more from him about his life, what he does, how does he make it happen, and most importantly, at the end, if someone wants to follow in his footsteps, what does it take to live such a lit life?
Very, very.
Yeah. So we're going to catch up with Jabu on the other side of this.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with Thea Bailey. Live on Cliff Central.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest goes by the name of Jabu Mzimela. I might be wrong when I say this thing, but mind you, forgive me. I think he's one of the managers at Taboo, which entails him doing logistics for performances.
Coordination,
and his partner in crime is Sully. They literally do everything, but I feel that it should be him that tells us exactly what does it do. Jabu, what do you do?
First of all, Sia, thank you so much for the opportunity. You know, we don't get a lot of time to speak about our career, but yeah, basically Taboo Nightclub, we do full operations. They call us club specialists now.
Oh, that's a fancy word.
Due to the fact that we don't have one thing that we do, and which is why it's so entertaining and it's never the same thing, you know. You get to plan events, you get to book VIP tables, you get to liaise with artists, you get to build brands, you get to, you know, discuss the future of entertainment, you get to see it before it happens, you know. We saw Nasty C before he became Nasty C. We saw a lot of these guys before they actually blew up, you know. And, you know, it's amazing to see what a space like Taboo can actually do for a career, you know. So, yeah, man, been doing this for a very long time. Unfortunately, yeah, I ended up at Taboo.
You won't tell us the number because you don't want to reveal your age.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 20 years, but you won't tell us.
No, it's plus minus 7 years. I started when I was 19.
You're quite young. That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm 26 this year. And yeah, man, it's been a crazy journey, you know. You know how Joburg is. Hard to work your way up. Very difficult to get people to believe in you. You know, you have to break boundaries. You have to, you know, try new things. You've got a lot of challenges. There's a lot of people who want your position. Yeah, and it's very tough. You know, entertainment is one of those. It's showbiz. It's very... shallow, you know, only the best survive, you know. And it's really difficult for me currently to actually think how we're going to outdo Taboo 2016 this year, because it's been a really crazy year.
It was a crazy year. You guys had a pop-up in Durban. Like, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And it's what I want to actually focus on. It's called Taboo on the Move.
Wow.
So what we realized was we've got about 5-6 venues, they're all across the country, and there's opportunity for us to move around the country now. It's no more Taboo in Johannesburg only. Taboo can actually go to Nelspruit, it can go to Northwest, it can go anywhere we want it to go. And it's going to be very difficult, but it's something that I'm, you know, more interested in. I think what we did last year with the internationals, the future event, you know, the year before we had Young Thug, we've had Ray Shrimmered, we've had all the internationals coming, you know, and they choose to come to Taboo. J. Cole, you know, we never even booked some of these guys. They were like, yo, we're around. Fortunately, they're staying in Sandton. Taboo's in Sandton. It works out. It works out perfectly for us. Some of those gigs, I don't know how we're going to outdo this year, you know, so maybe we might bring Migos.
Oh my goodness. Do you want to shut up? For the culture.
But let's get a bit personal for a second. I mean, you've been at this now for 7 years. You are at the top of your game, if I say so myself. You're a club specialist at 26, which is incredible.
Thank you.
Can you tell us why the club? Like, how did you say you started when you were 19? I mean, it's not every day that someone at 19 will be like, oh, I should be working at the club, or I should be a promoter, and then be a manager, then be a club specialist.
Yeah.
How do you even begin to tap into that kind of career? What drew you to it?
You know, I always tell people it's a passion thing. I was 19, we were sitting in a club with friends, and we were spending money. And I asked myself, where does this money go? Like, you know, we're swiping every weekend. Where does this cash go? And the club was Rocker. It was in, Oakland Park, I think. It was in Oakland Park, Rocker. This is, 2009. And I asked these guys, where does this money go? Who's the owner of this place? Where does this go? And once I did the research, I decided I'm going to do my first event.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I knew all the liquor brand suppliers. I knew all the guys who do the events, and Miller was just blowing up. So I asked him for budget. I went to Cats and Pyjamas. I spoke to the owner there. He was an Egyptian guy. He did rip us off. but it was good school fees, you know. Did my first gig, didn't lose any money, but I realized I knew nothing about this industry.
Yeah.
So my next move was to join a couple of friends of mine, and we started MTV Bay Street team. which basically meant we plug into your event, we do all your marketing promotion on the street, on the ground, we hand out flyers for you, and you give us a rate, you know. So this was where I was working basically for free, because there was five of us, and we'd be charging like 1,005. So across this journey, I met very good friends of mine, Marquesini and Capital. And we did a lot of events in Roxy's. We did Campus Shutdown with them. We did, we did Laryngitis, Larry's birthday celebration at the bank. Yeah. You know, we did a lot of events together and very successful events, you know. So we realized, okay, this is actually a way to monetize what we're doing. But in that time, you know, people say, oh, it used to be so hard. We used to see you on the street grinding. For me, it felt like normal. Like I wasn't struggling. Yeah. There was nothing. At the time, I was studying law.
So jeepers, you're full of drinks.
Wow.
But my first year I did adverts, and then I realized I'm never going to work. It's never going to work. And I moved to UNISA. My second year was at UNISA. So second year, third year I dropped out. But in that year, it was a year where this became a determining factor. Marquesini and Capital started a company called 4Play Media.
Yes.
And I was the back end. I was part of the marketing. I hired the whole team. We did the first launch 2012 at Icon. And this is when we were growing up now, because I was 22. It was real now. I bought my first car. You know, it was real. And now you've got installments. You've got, you know,
responsibilities. Yeah. They want their money.
And so from there, we took it more seriously. We started booking bigger artists. We started asking for bigger budgets. We started pushing this thing much harder than we were right there, you know. And unfortunately, we got to a point where we split. And in that time that we split, I joined Chris Ngosi and Larry at Cocoon. So my weekend used to be crazy. Chris and Ngosi at Cocoon on a Saturday. Friday I used to be at Sway. And Sunday I used to be at Sway. So
you're going to sleep when you're dead, right?
Basically.
Yeah. Okay.
I even remember, just going back to the 4Play Media, you guys did 4Play Fest, correct?
Yes.
That's the first party I ever went to when I arrived in Johannesburg, actually.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I remember what the adverts, actually, by the lawns.
Yeah.
And I remember that's where I saw Nomuzi, for example, for the first time on stage. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, that was a concept we were building for years, you know. And if I can be controversial, you know, for us to actually do that event, it was after the first Major League Gardens. When we saw the first Major League Gardens, we're like, wow, these guys are actually doing this.
We can do it.
We can. We have to, you know. So the first one was at Innisfree Park, and the second one was at Wits, you know. Very good events, you know, very good exposure. And as I say, unfortunately, we went our separate ways, but that was a really good time for me to learn about this industry. And, you know, you see the fake people, you see the real people, you see who's there when it's tough, you see when you lose money, when you make money, who sticks around, you know. And so it was a really good time to assess the game, you know. And as I say, 22, 23, you know, most 23-year-olds were like me. We didn't know where we were going, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't understand what we wanted to do, but we wanted to, well, personally, I wanted to work. And so I worked as hard as I could. And, you know, there's no sleep, there's no, but it's not hard. I don't know why people think it's hard. It's a passion. It's driving you. You don't even know where you're going with it, you know. And so, yeah, in my time when I started working at Sue and Cocoon, I was able to see this thing every week, and I'd walk past this door, you know, this red door.
Yeah.
And it wasn't open on Saturday nights, you know, and I'd just be like, I need to one day get here. This is the high.
This is where I'm going.
Yeah. This is the high level, because I once went there when I was 17, and I got bounced so badly. They were like, I remember actually Gareth Cliff was playing that night. It was a white night, and I got there with my brother-in-law and my, you know, my sister. And they said, there's no way this kid is getting in, you know? I was like, why? What's wrong, you know? And
I want to see what's going on behind the red door.
yeah, exactly. I was one of those kids that I see today, you know? And I never went back until I was 24. Jeez. When I was doing these gigs. And fortunately, through me working with Larry and Chris Ngosi, I was able to meet Chris Katrulis, who owns these clubs, you know?
Yeah.
And when I met this guy, you know, I told people, this was probably the coolest guy I'd ever seen. Like, he was standing there, and he was just, you know, and he was operating. And
he looks very like Godfather vibes.
You know, he is. And as I say, the first time I saw this guy, I was like, who is this guy? And I was asking everyone, like, why is this guy taken so seriously, you know? And he had two earplugs in his ears because, you know, he's not, the sound is too loud.
Yeah.
But he also is not there to listen. There's so many people talking to him, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I saw him leaving. And he goes through the back door. And I directly approached this guy and I said to him, I want to work for Taboo. you know, I was lit. I had a couple of tequilas. And I was like, yo, bro, I want to work for Taboo. And he was like, you're never going to work for me. Ever. Forget it. It's never going to happen.
Really?
Like, whoa. For real. For real. I tease him about it every day now. But he was like to me, bro, you'll never. You. Look on. You're not serious. You're drinking every weekend. It's never going to work.
Wow.
So I said to him, bro, I'm going to prove you wrong. And yeah, 24th birthday. The guys at Cocoon were like to me, no, you can't keep the full door. We had a discussion with the door and, you know, cash. And I was like, guys, it's my birthday. Come on. So they didn't want me to do it. So I went and did my birthday at Vakamata. I used to do events at Vakamata back in the day as well. So it was easy for me to talk to Uncle Jim. Got to Vakamata and me and Frankie smashed it. We made a crazy, crazy event. And from that point on, it's when you start believing in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, from that point on, I was like,
the hype becomes real.
So would you say that party was the party that you were like, okay, if I had to say this is when I made it, it was that party?
I would say not that party, but it was a time when I could say, I can do this on my own. I don't need
other people
to actually help me do this. This thing is, it's something that I've learned and I'm good at. And that party, you know, just from the finances that came out and just from the people that supported my birthday that year, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately, that weekend, the Monday after, Chris called me and said to me,
I changed my mind.
Yeah.
Where are you? Come have lunch.
Yeah.
The rest is history, you know.
Just going back to what you're saying, I know there's a lot of young people listening to you right now. And I think there's a very important lesson in what you were saying about you believing in yourself. Mm. We live in such a time where everyone wants to be put on.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you meet a lot of young promoters that come to you and be like, yo, Jabu, put me on. Jabu, 100%. I want to work for you. And what I've learned in my career as well, being a young person who looked up to a lot of people to ask them for advice and mentorship, is that you're never going to make it until you actually believe in yourself and validate yourself that you can actually do this.
100%.
Until such a time.
You have to show up.
Exactly. Until such a time, you're like, you know what? I'm the business. I'm doing this. You know, pretend until you make it or fake till you make
it. Fake till you make it.
You know, once you believe in yourself, that's when those who you desire to believe in you actually believe in you.
Yeah.
I think when I look at my career, it's so crazy. Like half the time when I started this Threaded Man thing and going around to people in the industry being like, yo, take a look at my side. What do you think? Looking for this validation. For them to be like, yeah, it's good, so I could feel great.
Yeah.
But they told me it was crap. They told me, see, this is actually shit.
Yeah.
It's not a good site. It's not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point where I'm like, you know what? Screw everyone else. I'm going to do what I have to do. It's not about them. I'm going to focus on my peers. And that was a very important lesson.
100%. And it's something that we, when we sit together in the office and we talk about this stuff, we talk about, you know, who's making the industry. We really do admire guys like yourself. We admire guys like Major League. You know, we admire the guys who did it against the odds.
Yeah.
You know, people never, no one ever thinks you're going to make it. No one ever believes in you. Until you show up, then they're all now your best friends, you know? Now all of them love you and all of them. And the nice thing is, you know, with the way I grew up, you know, I don't hold grudges. I can't, it's not in me. I can't get upset. It's not in me, you know?
It comes with the names. But even in the industry you're in, you can't afford that.
100%. Yeah. You know, you can't get upset at people for whatever reason. You know, it doesn't allow you to. But for instance, there's a lot of people back in the day who were very mean, very cruel to me. I'll never be like that to them now, you know. And so for up and coming guys, I always say to the guys, you know, there's no one who can put you on. You know, there's this boy I work with, Khloni. I always make an example with him.
He's the brand ambassador, right?
Yeah, he's a new brand ambassador. We've just literally moved him into the office now. He doesn't do, you know, just chilling in the streets anymore. He's now learning about everything.
The business behind it.
Yeah, hopefully he takes over my role if he focuses.
So what are you going to do? Go into, like, sit on an island and drink?
I wish. No, I really want to push this Taboo on the move, and I want to try and expand the brand bigger than what it is right now. So it is also about, for me, I need to go to the next level. It's important that we take it to the next level, and it's important that we do it now. We don't wait, you know. Last year we pushed boundaries. We did an event called Fusion, which was a mixture of Zone 6 and Taboo. And something like that was a game changer for a lot of people. A lot of people are asking, why would you guys do that? And my answer was, we need to do things that are different, push the envelope. People can't, you know, you can't just sit and want to be the same guy that you are last year. You know, I was even saying to Solly, we are too comfortable. I want to get uncomfortable. You know, I want to get into a position where things are tough for me. Things are hard for me because currently, you know, as CEO was saying, we're so consistently doing so well. I promise you, we don't even need to put out a flyer anymore. You know, taboo is a culture.
It is a culture.
Taboo is a thing people do. People work Monday
to Taboo is a lifestyle. Taboo is a lifestyle.
And we want to turn it into a proper lifestyle. We want to turn it into Vegas. We want to turn it into Monte Carlo, you know. Clubs overseas, when you look at them, you don't even have to ask twice. You know what's going on, you know.
Right.
So for us, you know, we want to get people to be as aspirational as possible. You know, during the week, we always say, work hard, make your money. Save a bit of it for taboo, you know. But you must come in,
come give your money to Jabu on Friday.
But it's actually crazy. Like, people will spend their last 1,000 rands at taboo.
Yeah. It's a watering hole, you know. And they've made it an opulent watering hole. That's where people go to be seen, to hang out, to see what's on the street, what's on the scene, who's like buzzing.
100%. Yeah. Your achievements are celebrated at taboo. There. That's what we try to push as much as possible. And so, I want to take it to the next level. I want it to be even better than it is now. I want the customer service to be better. I want people to enjoy the entertainment better. We need to put new guys on.
Yeah.
This Frank Casino guy is going to kill it, but we need to put him on.
We shot with him. We shot with him recently. Like, it's one of the things. It's actually so cool that you're saying that because I was speaking to Lisa last week and I always debate with my team. We're always fighting all the time, especially about the industry, who's who, how we pay. And we were actually talking about the whole thing about how...
The whole thing.
You know, in America, I was actually making an example in America where in the music industry, the whole music industry will choose who the gal of that year is.
Yeah.
Same way as the acting industry, the film industry will choose who the actresses and actors of
100%.
That year are. And I was saying in South Africa, we need to start building that culture where we like, as an industry, we like, okay, this is the guy that we're going to help this year. And it's so crazy that from a fashion perspective, I shot with Frank Casino, but from an entertainment perspective, you're also saying Frank Casino is really dope and how we can actually, we have both of us together, we have a platform to curate and really make these guys big and put them on such a huge platform.
100%. You know, I believe, you know, taboo is one establishment. There's a zone 6. There's other clubs in the industry where we all need to almost collaborate in making sure that, for instance, the hip-hop industry gets much bigger.
Yes.
My biggest problem last year was that we could book Les, a.k.a. Mugs, Altido.
You couldn't or you could?
You could, but you get to a point where it's all over. Because, you know, taboo is 104 weeks of events. It's
my goodness.
And also, like, what beats...
In 1 year.
Like, I mean, I love taboo, but then what beats me seeing Casper in Cape Town last week and seeing him in Joburg the next week?
100%.
It's exactly that.
That's our biggest problem, you know? And even for them, we don't get time to miss them, you know?
Yeah.
But we need them because we need the crowds, and the crowds need to see them.
Yeah.
And these guys need to release new music, and these guys want to perform, and they want... So, for instance, we don't want to get to a point where we run out of artists. There should be at least, for me personally, about 25 strong artists, you know? There should be 10 guys. For instance, it's you know, people don't realize how great it is that Ricky's taking Frank Casino everywhere.
Yeah.
And in his set, he includes Frank Casino's song.
And Gemini Major and Deleuze.
You know, that stuff is it's stuff that's so key. What Deleuze has done with Gemini has put him on. Unlike for him
the cosign.
And, you know, Casper did the same thing for all the Family Tree guys, you know?
Yeah.
And it's something that's so important, but a lot of people don't, what can I say, allow it to happen, you know? You only want Casper to do one song, but you need him to actually do an ensemble with Tsekho, Hennessy, with Gemini, Raga Raga, with Nadia Nakai. They've all got songs together, you know? And even the radio stations, you know, I'm very interested in radio currently because I want to understand it better, but radio stations need to play
local music.
Are you trying to now get some ad space in
taboo
the radio?
Taboo radio. No, taboo radio.
Taboo radio, taboo TV, taboo radio. Fortunately, the content is there, you know?
Mm.
That's why it's like, for me, it's always a shock. For instance, when Solly said they want you guys on, I was like, us? Why? Us?
Yeah.
What are we, you know? Because for us, what we do, you know, outside is seen as something so great. For us, it's just work, man. You know, you get in there, you book artists, you get the event, you market your heart out, you know, you put your heart on your sleeve, you know, and you push, you know, you push the envelope. But for us, for someone to recognize, you know, Sia, for you to recognize us, to see us, for me, it's always a shock.
You guys are actually very powerful. I don't think you actually realize how powerful, because in a sense that I feel... Correct me if I'm wrong, this is open for debate, but being in Joburg for the last 3 years, I've been able to find the people that are signifiers. And what I like to call signifiers are people that actually that have so much data on everybody in the game. So, for example, your Bad Bads have so much data.
Always.
They have so
they
much information.
They know all the secrets.
They know all the secrets. They know who has money, who doesn't have money. Then it's your club promoters. Because you guys see guys from... You know, I'm not going to say this out there, but you see when a young rapper's being bounced from the club and now he blows up, he becomes a superstar, then he fades again. So you guys see all that stuff. You see who's on drugs, who's not on drugs. You see who shows up on time, who doesn't show up on time. You see who's going to have a good career and who's not. 100%. You see all those early indicators from early on because 100%. You deal with the guys at such a grassroots level. Yeah, it's so crazy.
And that's continuous.
And what I'm going to say is that I'm just going to go back to your story quickly before we wrap this because I want to get spicy now when I'm moving to the second part of the show. It's almost half past. When you're doing all these parties at 21, there's a lot of, I'm not gonna pretend, but I've seen so much money going through events at the table. They open like, yeah, this is a lot of money. So making all this money at 19 20 21, did you ever have a rapper moment where like, you know what, I'm on, and you just blow this cash, you buy bottles and the girls, you know, and let's not pretend, and the women that now and the women that now know that you're in the scene, you're doing, you're popping this bottle, that, you know, tell us about, I mean, right now you work at Taboo, you see a lot of things happen. There's a lot of money, a lot of drugs, a lot of controversies that happen in the space, but you've remained very disciplined. You're very young, you're very focused, you're building a business, you're driving this thing, you know, making all this money at 19. How did you not fade? How did you not fall off? How did you not fall for those traps?
Because a lot of people come into the scene.
And then there's a lot of young promoters out there that we see, they do one big event and then they all get into the money and the life and then they fade away. How have you remained so focused? What drives that?
I think the fortunate thing with me is I'm from the West Rand and I grew up with a family with two strict parents. So when I started doing this, you know, I explained to them fully what I'm doing and they were like to me, it's very dangerous what you're doing, but it's a passion. We can't stop you.
It is dangerous,
And so when you are 19, you know, back then for me, a lot of money was 10,000 rand. That was a lot of money for me. And when you're making that kind of money and you are, you know, you are able to spend it as and when you wish, it's very tricky. So my background was able to make me stay grounded. For instance, my mom saves like crazy. I started saving like crazy.
I need your mom in my life.
Yeah. And I started, you know, looking at property investments. I started looking at, you know, things to buy, you know, what can I buy for the future? You know, I started looking at Kruger coins at a young age. So my money became dedicated to a lot of these things. But once in a while, you get to lose it because, for instance, what I've seen with the club culture is that it actually catches you when you're not aware. So you'll be sitting in the club with one Ciroc and you'll be chilling. And it'll be some girl who walk past and you'll think,
it's always a girl.
Yeah. Always, I cannot. You know, and you'll greet her and she won't greet you back. Whatever the case is. Or you'll be sitting with guys and the peer pressure will come in and they'll say, guys, can't be drinking vodka, not champagne now. So for instance, we'll now start buying champagne. The club industry, you'll never ask, how much is this bottle?
You can't.
So in that moment, you just say, okay, I'm taking two. How many are you taking? Two. Okay, there's eight bottles of champagne all of a sudden at the table. Now, in that moment, you never say, hey, let me just swipe now or let me pay now. So, for instance, your one boy passes out, he's out. The other one goes home with another girl.
Ooh.
So you stayed with a bill now. The bill is now at 15K. You have to pay for that bill. There's no way you're going to get, you know, the club doesn't allow you to leave without paying for that bill.
Touching on that, what do you guys do when people leave Taboo and they haven't paid for their bill?
You know, the stuff that happens.
So actually, can I hold a horse on that one? Because we're going to get a bit spicy and I wanna get into that. So guys, if you have any questions for Solly, please touch base with us on cliffcentral.com on Twitter. You can WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090 and we're going to speak about blesses, we're going to talk about bills, we're going to talk about bottles of champagne, we're going to talk about the litness of the job
on
club culture. Now we're going
to
talk about the real stuff on the other side of this.
Progressive, cultured, and brave. The Threat of Exchange with CFE. Live on Cliff Central.
Welcome back to Cliff Central. You're live on the Thread Exchange with Siyabonga Beyile. We are live with Jabu Mzimela, who is the manager and actually no, Let me say that again. He's a club specialist.
I love that word.
Of the Taboo Group South Africa, which have venues across the country. They do things such as 47th. They do Vanity in Pretoria. They do Taboo in here in Johannesburg.
Cocoon, VIP room, Cocoon. Bungalow,
Cape Town.
Flex on us. And yeah, Jabu is an entrepreneur in so many ways that he's innovative in his career. He's young. He's 26 years old, and he's already been in the industry since the age of 19, starting off hustling, doing his own parties, and eventually joining the biggest, you know, club group in South Africa. And now he's in a position where he knows which artists to put on the platform. He knows which artists need the support. And I think Taboo Group plays a very important part of the entertainment industry in South Africa, especially for hip hop, making, you know, the rappers very accessible. If they're releasing new singles, it's a very good platform. I think the club is not just a space where we go out and party, but it's actually a platform. Same way that I have the Threaded Man as a platform where I showcase people through fashion, they showcase people through hosting and entertainment.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that is outstanding. Yeah. But for now, we're going to talk about the litness in the club. Jabu, in your position...
I'm scared for you, Jabu.
You see, as you said, you see a lot of guys from the grassroots. You see them blow up and you see them fade.
Yeah.
And in all of this process, you have to maintain and keep relationships.
Yes.
As Siyabonga Beyile, I meet you, I'm popping, I'm hosting all these parties with you, but then I sort of start fading. Now, what I want to ask, starting off being spicy, let's say now I'm big. Right,
yep.
I'm Siya Beyile, I'm the Threaded Man guy. Everyone knows me, popping career, do popping events. But then my career takes a dip. Let's say now I've dipped, and I come to you and I say, "Ish,
crash."
Yeah, and let's say my career crashes, or I get into a scandal, and now I want to do it. And now let's say we're friends now, because I think most of these guys in the industry not only become, you build such strong relationships.
Mm.
So let's say now my career's done and out, and I come to him like, "Jabu, I'm thinking of doing a party at Taboo, you know, and I need to make a comeback." Has that ever happened?
Does it happen? Mm-hmm.
And how do you balance the relationship and the business? Especially when you know that, this guy's actually done. We can't do anything for him, but he's my friend. How do you handle that?
It's the toughest position to be in. But I use a thing called euphemism. So we don't kill you harshly. We kill you nicely.
Soft.
But my whole thing is, you know, we have to, it's a reality of the business, you know. For the mere fact that your career is tanked, you can end up tanking me now.
Yeah.
If I make a choice on you. So for instance, when it did happen to me, what I was able to explain to the guy is, before I can take you back or before we can do another event, let's work on your career. Okay. When are you dropping new music?
What's going on?
What are you planning? How's your social media, bro? You need to tweet more often. How's your, you know, what is happening in your life? What are your plans? Do you have any? Do you want to, you know? And so you look at a person like that. From that point on, I'll be able to tell you if you're going to make it or not. You know, if you are interested and you're asking questions and you want to do things, then we can carry on the conversation. If not, at that moment, I'm going to send you on a wild goose chase. So I'll say something like, okay, bro, bring me your next single. Bring me your album artwork. Bring me everything. I'll even tweet it for you. So I'll do the work for you. You let him go. He'll never come back.
Because he's not doing the work.
100%. So I always base it on, as much as we put in the work, that guy needs to put in the work, or that girl needs to put in the work, you know. People whose careers tank, I feel, you know, as much as this can be debated, it's up to you. If you really take yourself seriously, you can go to the top level. If you don't take yourself seriously, you're not going to make it. For instance, I always believe, you know, artists overseas, they take themselves seriously as an artist and as a business. So in SA, a lot of artists take themselves seriously as an artist. They don't care about the business. You hand that over to a friend. That friend is going to steal money from you. That friend is not going to get you bookings. That friend is more about the girls, the lifestyle, everything else.
Yeah.
You're going to end up with a pop career. Why is PR not happening? Why aren't you on Cliff Central? Why aren't you doing interviews? Because your friend has taken this role, and he's never going to call Sia. He's never going to beg you guys. He's never going to say, "Yo, Lisa, can we please get X, Y, whatever?" Never, because he's about the girls, you know.
He's just going to bring a heavy guest list.
And that's the one thing that I was able to learn very quickly, and it's a debate I've had with too many people, you know. I said to guys, you know, once you have shagged the hottest chick in Jersey, and then another one comes in and you shag her, and then another one comes in and you keep doing this. What is the end result? Mm. For instance, what is your value from that?
Yeah.
So for me, knowing that theory was able to make me not focus on girls as much, you know? For me, I personally wanted to be with one person and focus on that, you know?
So you're not out here. This is you telling us. Are you single? Actually, ladies, Jabu, are you
don't
single?
Don't put that much pressure on Jabu. Now work's going to be hard.
The beautiful women are listening right now, so they want to know.
I keep saying it's complicated. It's very complicated.
It's always complicated.
It's complicated, ladies.
So it means that he's not taken. No, I'm not. But I'm not available either. But my whole thing about it is from a young age, we were able to play these things, you know? At 19, 20, you can play these games. Today, at 26, you know, the girls who are 24, 25 are much more serious about their lives. The girls who are older than that, and the girls I'm talking to now are much more serious about themselves. For instance, me and the team went to Wits all week, and I was able to quickly say, girls who are getting excited by seeing a cap, a taboo cap, are the girls who've never had this. They've just been hearing about it so much.
Yeah.
So it's easy for us as gents to take advantage of that and do whatever you want to do, yeah. You know? On the flip side, you know, I was explaining to the guys, I said to Tony and them, we need to get these girls to love the boo, not to have an experience that was short-lived. You know, I fucked one of the promoters at Taboo. That's not what you want. You want someone to say, yo, I love that brand. I want to go there. When it's my birthday, I want to celebrate it at Taboo. So I was trying to explain to them that you don't want short-lived moments, you know? As much as those controversial moments sometimes make your club talkability more, we prefer the long game. I always say, a first-year student is going to be a customer in 3 years.
Yeah.
When they get that job at Investec, they're going to come to Taboo. So if they have a bad experience with the boo, they'll be saying, I'll never go there. Why? I had a bad experience. What happened? No. Hey, this guy just took me one night. He put me in the Michelangelo. Yeah. Boom. It was all over. So for me, yeah.
Now let's get a bit lit.
Yeah.
So because you guys work at Taboo and because of the work that you do, do you guys get a lot of residual pussy?
Yes.
Wow, Sia.
No, I'm serious. Like, most of the time, no, but seriously, like, people don't understand. People think that the only guys that actually are, you know, that get thrown on by women is rappers, but it's such a bigger game now where I get residual pussy too because of being the 300 man and the work that I do. It happens.
Unfortunately,
like, let's be honest,
they're throwing themselves.
It does happen.
You know, I don't know how you say what. This is a game.
I want to ask you, how do you deal with that? Like, I've gotten to a point now in my career. I mean, last year I was lit. I was doing too much.
Separates the two, but can you separate the two?
That's what I was going to say.
Sometimes
it's hard.
It's too much.
What I keep saying is I got it out of my system 21, 22, 23. But it's unbelievable. Like, people, you know, for instance, there's so many rumors. People think me and Solly have shares at Taboo. People think we actually are owners. People think we... So when those girls walk up to you, they're not walking up asking questions. They're just like, hey, are you? Yes. Okay, blah, 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 blah. And this girl is something from a cover magazine. You know, it's one
She's
of the...
She's allowed.
You know, so for us, it's very difficult to deviate from that. So sometimes the flesh is weak, man. You know,
I want to ask something lit. Like, let's just put it out there, guys. Like, we are not talking about regular women that you meet. Some of these ladies are supermodels. Some of them are your favorite presenters.
100%.
Some of them you follow on the gram.
Yeah.
People most of the time think the women we sleep with because of our positions we're in, it's just women. It's women that we find at students at varsity.
No
way. But it's sometimes older women who have been in the industry for years.
You actually would be so shocked if you had to see, for instance, myself and Solly's catalogue of chicks that we choose. It's not your regular.
You have your phone here, right?
I want to see WhatsApp.
My one ex broke up with me when she went into my camera roll because of the stuff that was there. But it's not nudes or whatnot. Mm. It's just the type of girls. They'll send you pictures and they'll...
Club hands.
She couldn't... Not even club hands. She couldn't believe some of the celebrities that you've been with.
Ooh,
you know, like...
Yeah.
You with... And for us, as I say... You know, it's Hollywood. It's like you're in the moment. You know, when you're at Taboo,
it's Las Vegas.
It's the life. live. It's the live.
You're just at the highest level of shining, you know. You're there, you're in the moment, the music is there, the lights are flashing. It's very difficult for you.
Drinks are flowing.
Yeah.
Very difficult for you to make an informed decision of yes, no. Yes, no. And it should be allowed, you know. Entertainment is that, you know. For that moment that song makes you feel a certain way, you're going to dance like you're ratchet. You know,
yeah.
For that moment, exactly. I was actually thinking of that song immediately when I said that. It makes you act and be a certain way. So, for us, yeah, it gets the stuff you see at Taboo.
Yeah. Can I ask you something? I mean,
yeah.
Just you know, it. You know, all this residual pussy and this life in the...
See,
in the
what residual pussy are you getting?
Residual is because you're getting it because...
No,
we're getting it because they know I'm shooting Major League, for example.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, these big guns.
And then because of that, they think I'm close to Ricky. Because of that, they think, see, I must know the guys in Mabala, so let's...
Yeah.
Just, let's have sex with
them.
Let me give him some.
Yeah.
So, but to a certain... I mean, there's a time last year where I felt like it's fun for a little bit because you're like, all these girls throwing themselves at me. Oh, this is great. And then after a while, you start to feel like a bit used.
Yeah.
Because now it's like they're not actually having sex with you because they think you're actually cool. They're having sex with you because they want to get within the circle.
Yeah.
To meet the person they want to get to.
100%.
Or they want to, you know, be associated with you. So doesn't that, since now you work at the club and you're hosting all these events, you know, besides girls actually, you know, even guys like that befriend you, like a CF is like, "Hey Jabu, nice to meet you."
And the next week, I'm like, "Yo Jabu, I'm having a party."
Yeah, I guess this. Doesn't that get frustrating that people forget that you're human?
Yeah,
the only thing
does.
They always want to ask is getting into the club. They never asked, "Oh, let's have lunch, Jabu. Let's chill. What are you doing on Saturday?"
It really does. And this is a tweet that Rich Mahawk said. You know, he said he'd be so tired of all the greetings that you have to give when you have to work for a club, you know. The only thing that outweighs that is the passion of you seeing your end result.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the end of a night and you're like, wow, we pumped 2,000 people into this venue. How? You know, you had this kind of turnover. How? You know, how did you? And everyone is leaving with a smile on their face. That makes it more worth it. Mm. But you're right in the sense that you soon get to see the real and the fake. Working in an industry like this, for me, for instance, you can't hide it, you know. You want to know me so that you can get guest list, or you want to meet AKA, or you want to meet Les, or you want to meet your favorite celebrities. You just want to meet Sia, so you're going to greet me, call out my name, just so you can shake this guy's hand, you know. Guys do that, girls do that. It's Joburg, and I think if you want to make it in Joburg, you must get over that.
Pinch of salt,
you must get over that immediately, because that's the high-end level of it, you know. At the end of the day, today, people just want to make it, and it by any means, you know. Girls want to meet blessers. Guys want to meet guys who are going to put them on. Guys just want to pitch stories the whole day. My whole WhatsApp is just a storybooks, you know. Can we do this? Can we do that? Please, can I shoot?
Why
can
don't you have two phones?
I do.
So you do. So you've got like a more personal.
So you definitely are not available if you have another like serious
phone. No, it is. You know, so that, you know, you actually need to talk to other people without thinking the business. This is like a, you know, a business. So when you talk to these people, you almost switch this one off.
Yeah.
So that you can actually give these people attention. If it's only on one side, it messes everything up.
Let me get a bit personal now. I mean, your job, you love it, and it is a passion.
Yeah.
You live and you breathe it and everything. But doesn't it get tiring, my man? Like,
I watch
you in the club. I let's say I go, you know me, I go on an odd occasion. I'm like, yo, I'm coming through, whatever.
Once in a while.
But you're there every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday. There's also other events that are happening across Vanity, VIP, all these
planning.
Things.
Yeah.
You're always up at night. You're always around alcohol.
Yeah.
Do you have a life? And how do you find...
You know, that's,
how do you not kill yourself from the job that you do?
I was going to tell you, this is the reason why my complication came in. So I met the right girl, and I didn't have a life for her. So I prioritized Taboo ahead of her. And because of that, you end up in a situation where you're thinking, but what the hell am I doing, you know? Because you're running around in circles. People have asked me, don't you... Last year, for instance, the only two nights I missed at Taboo was Durban July weekend. So that Friday... Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I missed that weekend. And Stay Fresh in Cape Town. Those are the only two nights I missed at Taboo. So it shows you that for me, as I say, the passion overrides.
Who's your woman?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But for what I keep saying to people, for instance, my job, I come in at 10 a.m. I'm out at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
So between the morning when I wake up and go do my jogs or whatever, I'm still free. 9 o'clock, I get into a car, drive to work, get to work. I'm planning now events for VIP Room, Cocoon, Taboo, helping with 47, helping with Vanity. Whatever needs to get done with Bungalow in Cape Town, we do it. We get it done. That's your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But as soon as it's 3 p.m., me and Solly are just talking about what should we do for the following week. Should we plan this week? Should we do this? Let's call Mahuta. Let's call Skido.
Yeah.
We need to get a radio ad. Let's call whoever. So it's like literally that's when you're planning. But my weeks are very chilled, you know. My Friday, I don't go to work. I literally start work at 9 p.m. and then I'm out at 6. So during the day, I get to relax. You can chill. You can go to a spa. You can go see people. You can have lunches. You can relax, you know. Saturday afternoons are a bit tough for me, but when I wake up at 1 in the afternoon, between 1 and 7, I'm free. And that's where you go to your Parkhurst. You go to your neighborhoods. Yeah. You go wherever you need to go. And you're able to then live outside of your club, you know.
So what do you do for fun? So I mean, let's say now I'm your friend, let's say we're best mates, whatever.
Best
for me
mates.
For me, fun is going out.
Yes,
your career is going out. So
but we get paid to party.
So how do
that's
you
a nice life.
So now as you, if now you're catching up with your boys on a Saturday and they're like, yo, Jabu's, you off today, we want to go out, let's go to the club and drink. Do you feel like you want to go to the club and drink? Or do you just, like, for example, I'd imagine, like, I always look at the ladies that work, you know, at KFC or McDonald's. I'm like, you're around meat all the time. You must hate it so much. Do you feel sick of alcohol? Do you feel sick
of going
out
alcohol,
in your private space?
Yeah, alcohol, I've been done for a while. I'll come in, I'll have a couple of shots, I'll chill with you, whatever, but I've been done for a while. And club spaces vary. For me, Kantara and Taboo are complete different clubs.
Oh, Kantara.
I go to Kantara,
they need an aircon.
That's the only thing they need, man. They need to give us aircon.
Yeah.
But when I go there, I feel like a complete different person. Like, it feels like, I'm actually going to a party.
Yeah.
I'm actually seeing girls that are different to Taboo girls. Girls are from Monash, from VC, wherever. You see different type of girls. You know, there people are wearing all stars, people are wearing whatever. There's no heels, there's no freaking dresses like Taboo, there's no jackets. So for me, when I'm there, it's a complete different vibe. When I go to Zone 6 on a authentic Sunday, complete different vibe, you know.
Yeah.
For me, I get there, I have fun, I'm able to meet people, I'm able to mingle like a party guy. When I go to Taboo, there's no alcohol, there's no, I don't fraternize too much with people. We're there to run the business and to make sure that everyone feels comfortable. So everyone must feel welcome and comfortable. So if you look, I'll spend maybe 2-3 minutes with people. I'll go to the bowlers, I'll go to the girls, I'll go to friends, I'll go to guys. Is everything okay? Are you okay? Is everything cool? What? My cell phone, this, that. You help the person look for their cell phone.
Do you find
them.
Cell phones?
We have. We started to now, due to the fact that we've put cameras everywhere.
And that's good. I like
that's incredible, guys. Public service announcement.
They now have cameras
at Taboo and they can find your phones.
We have to, because, you know, for me it was getting out of hand. You know, we have, you know, people would, the guy we found stealing the one time was dressed in a suit, in a full suit. It was Armani. I think it was fake because it just had, but he had a full suit on and
you
he had three cell phones inside.
Oh.
We just asked him, unlock this phone, chief. He couldn't unlock. You know, he got a beating. So I'm going to go back to that, you know. You know, the biggest problem I have is guys who come and spend money that they don't have. So what we normally do is we give you a cell phone and we ask you to call home.
Yeah.
If you can't, you'll get, you know, you get handcuffed to...
To what?
Yeah, we've got a basement.
I'm straight.
I wanna go into one last topic about Taboo. I think this one is probably the most important. Is that in Johannesburg and within the entertainment space, there's a hierarchy.
Yeah.
You know, your Bonang sits at the top there, your AKA is at the top, and your Ricky Rick are the top.
I'm waiting for you to tell me who sits at the bottom.
I'm not going to say any names, but Jabu knows.
Yeah.
But when you come into the club space, I mean, when you're out in the media, who's important? Is who's everyone who has the largest numbers.
Yes.
But I'd imagine the club is a bit different because you have to manage your big celebrities such as your Bonang, your AKAs, but at the same time, there are guys who spend real money who are not on social media, no one really cares about,
100%.
But they're probably your biggest clients.
Like undercover billionaires.
Now, when it comes to the club space, and you're looking at, there's a Bonang, then there's a Sia who's on the come up, there's a Frank Casino, there's Ubanbani from Durban who can spend 1 million rands on bottles. When it comes to sorting out tables and seatings, I mean, the guy who has money is going there because he wants to be with the celebrities.
Yeah.
The celebrity is going there because they know that you're going to be hosted. They want to show off. They want to be out there.
Yeah.
How do you handle those kind of interaction, that hierarchy?
Because
when I'm at Taboo, it's always interesting to see where I'm seated, because I'm like, oh, there's Casper right there. There's Stanley behind me, or there's Banban. Do you guys actually strategically do that?
Yes.
And I want to know, what is the thinking behind it? To you, what is an A-class celebrity?
Yes.
So how do you put an AKA at the biggest table?
Mm-hmm.
And how then a young Siabeyile who's on the come up, you want to host him as well, but he's not at that level. So how do you balance all those?
Yeah, I think that's where you have to be a specialist in the game, you know. We've got a manager, his name is Morris. He's also very good at this. So what we do is, in Taboo, it's almost like a cathedral. So you've got your two flanks, you've got the main front, and you've got your bar. So what we always try and do is make sure that we reserve about four tables. So two on each flank, we won't seat anyone there until around 2 a.m. in case a Casper walks in or an AK walks in, whoever walks in. That table will literally be maybe a six-seater or an eight-seater, depending on how many people he has. That system works the same way for a big spender. So you never know. For instance, there's guys who flew in and they literally called at 1 a.m. from OR and said, hey, is the club open? Yeah, it is. Okay, we're coming. Those guys need a table. When they get there, they're not going to ask who's sitting there, whoever. So those tables are not seated until 2:30, 3 a.m. We'd rather keep them empty the whole night than not have space. So that's one strategy. And I hope another, you know, these other clubs, they listen.
They're listening.
You know, they're going to jack us. Like, you know?
No, don't give too much of the formula.
So for us, I mean, it's a formula that works for us. And, you know, people believe in Taboo outside of the stuff. You can copy us all day.
But
you're not going to get it right.
Can I ask something a bit personal to myself? I mean, I'm a guy that works in fashion.
Yeah.
I never thought that I met it in the club.
Yeah.
But when I come to Taboo,
what table am I getting?
When I come to Taboo, I always feel like I'm a super mega, and people genuinely know me.
No, it
and
is. It's true.
How do you guys spot that? And I'm not gonna lie, I don't know how I know you guys. I feel like I've always known you and Sully for some reason.
It's introductions.
So I want to know, how do you know that that young Siabeyile guy? At some point, we need to foster that relationship, because we know he's gonna get big and he's gonna come to the establishment.
100%.
And when he comes, we need to make sure we place him.
Yeah.
So how do you guys like know those stuff? How do you spot those things?
I think that stuff is through people talking. You know, people talk about you when you don't actually least expect it. People are always talking about you. And so when you're not even looking, people are saying good things about you. People are saying, yo, this guy's got whatever. So when you do come to the club, we already kind of have a mindset about you, and we know this person is someone who's going to blow up. But besides that, our number one rule is everyone's a millionaire Taboo. So even the guy who walks in and you don't know him, we treat him like a millionaire. Ask him what he wants to drink, whatever. We've got hostesses.
I think I can vouch for that. Taboo's amazing.
You're always at the door actually welcoming people.
Yeah,
we have, you know, those four or five girls who are standing there. Those girls will meet you and introduce themselves to you. And you'll be like, but what's going on? I'm not even aware. And they'll ask you, are you okay? Do you need a table? Do you need to sit? Whatever. All right, here's our bar. They'll leave you at the bar and they'll come back downstairs. They'll come postulate and ask you, is everything okay? That kind of stuff, you can't buy it. I can't teach it. It's something that's in the system. When I got there, it was already there. And it's something that I've learned over the years, you know. You treat a person like a millionaire today. Tomorrow, when they are a millionaire, they'll never forget you, you know. And we've made sure that we try and make sure that everyone feels like they matter. Everyone feels like a superstar. And as I say, everyone who walks into Taboo is a millionaire in our minds, you know. So it's always worked out in the sense that the person actually becomes a millionaire or becomes wealthier
and comes back to
celebrate with us.
Wow, that's incredible. Oh, my word, it's it's almost done. It's almost been an hour.
Jeez,
now, you see, like, I feel like there's so much more I want
to
ask you.
Talk about.
But I mean, in closing, I want to ask you the following. Like, what words do you have, you know, for young promoters who, you know, want to follow the career path that you have followed? What advice do you have for young guys like me, you know, who are entering the entertainment space? And I mean, you see a lot of guys in the industry that come to the establishment. How do we get longevity in the industry? You've seen people rise and fall.
Yeah.
You've seen people be hot today and cold tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, you know, what advice would you have for us youngings starting in this entertainment industry?
I think the most important thing is to stay hungry. You know, I'm finding myself trying to get as hungry as possible. Hunger just means that you want more, you want to do more, you want to give more, you want to encourage more, you want to move forward. I think that's the most important. After that, I'd say you must just listen to people. You know, I've learned so many lessons from just listening to strangers.
Yeah.
You just need to listen to what people are saying, you know.
Yeah.
If people say to you, please don't stop doing this, stop it, you know. If people are asking you, don't do this, listen to people and take the good out of it, because some people are going to just tell you nonsense. So listen to people. And also, I think it's very wise to look up to someone who has walked you that path, you know. And when someone who's walked that path tells you certain thing, you need to take that thing seriously and do it, you know. And another thing I keep saying, you know, you need to break boundaries. When you look at someone like Bonang,
innovate.
She's always looking for the next. She's always looking for, how am I going to outdo my last?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people forget that, you know, we get to a point where you succeed and you're just like, but I've done it, you know? So my advice would be just always look for the next, always keep pushing the boundary. And yeah, look at someone like Bonang. Why does she want to outdo? Look at someone like AKA. Why does he want to always do better? It's because he knows that's how you stay in the game for as long as possible, you know? If I can make an example, DJ Fresh, Mosquito, and Black Coffee are all going to be relevant for the next 10 years. Why is that? Because they're just always looking for the next. Mm. So I think it's important to do that. Gareth Cliff looked for the next.
Here we
Touch
are.
Central, okay. Touch, look for the next.
Yeah.
And we have this opportunity now thanks to people who looked, you know, outside. Yeah.
Jabu, thank you so much for joining us today on the Thread Exchange. I'm really, really inspired.
I'm inspired.
I think
thank you.
The
thank
reason
you.
Why I invited you to this today is that I've seen you so many times and I've seen how constant you are at what you do, and I always feel that people don't pay props to what you do and
thank you,
how
man.
Important
thank
you are to the industry. You're 26
game.
Years old doing what you do. I'm hella inspired.
Thank you.
And
man.
I can't
thank
wait you. To see what the future holds for you. And I have no doubt that Taboo Group SA has made a great investment in having you as part of their team. And hopefully in the next 10 to 15 years, I'll be going to Vegas and going to New York or going to Europe, and I'll be going to your establishment.
100%. You know that's where saying? We're going, man.
And yes. I can't wait to also see Taboo Group take over Africa.
You're in the move.
100%.
So that's a real thing. I think from my side, if I had to give any parting words after today's show, is that, as Jabwe said, guys, stay hungry. Do not give up. Validate yourself. You can make your dream happen. Stop saying, put me on. Stop, you know, asking people to put you on. No one's going to put you on. You need to put yourself on.
100%.
You need to believe in yourself. You need to surround yourself with people that can support you, people that can make you feel better, and you'll see from there how things will grow for you. Lisa, any last words?
Do it until it happens.
Do it until it happens.
100%.
This is the Thread Exchange with Siyabonga Ngabile, live every Monday from 11 till 12 a.m. You can catch the podcast straight after the show. You can also look out for the video podcast on the Threaded Man social media channels. And yeah, we did another killer show. We'll see you again
next Monday.
Next week, Monday.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with Siyabonga Ngabile. Live on Cliff Central.
CliffCentral.com